In the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Let us pray. Oh, Father, in times of confusion and questioning, we thank you for your word, for your truth, Lord, that will tell us what we need to know and what is and what will be. And Lord, as we look forward to the coming of Christ, give us strength to live during these times as we should live. And Father, as we look into your word this morning, as the pastor comes to expound it to us, may you open our minds and soften our hearts and strengthen our will to be receptive to you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I had Jim read verses 1 through 8 just to remind us of the context of what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're actually going to be looking at verses 6 through 8. But in reminding these Thessalonian believers of the events that will take place as God pours out his wrath upon the earth and what is called the day of the Lord. We ended last week describing the future fact that the lawless one, or Antichrist as he is often referred to in Scripture, as he is often called, he will exalt himself over God and show himself to be a God on the earth. And there will be a vast majority of people at that time that will worship him. And we're going to look at how he does that, how he gains that following, Lord willing, next week. But here in our passage this morning, having taught of this, of his coming into power in previous verses, verses 1 through 5, Paul now reminds us of why this lawless one hasn't already come and what will be the end result of his coming into power. Now, we talked last week about different people looking at different people and different events and saying, he's got to be the Antichrist. This event has to be the day of the Lord. Well, there have been lots of lists compiled like that. There have also been lists compiled of powerful leaders that have been in the world. Powerful leaders that have not only been seen as powerful, but good as well. Leaders like Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Mahatma Gandhi. And these lists give us a very brief history of why they are considered great. But some of these lists break them, even these powerful leaders, down into an evil side as well. Leaders who ruled with not just not a good influence, but an evil influence. They led with sheer fear. Leaders like Mao Zedong, who was said to be responsible for over 30 million Chinese deaths. Or Joseph Stalin, the dictator of Russia, whose reign was virtually unstoppable, killing anyone really who opposed him. And he's said to be responsible for somewhere between 20 and 60 million deaths. But here's something interesting that I found. On each of these lists, whether it be a list of people that were just powerful, influential rulers, or lists of people that were downright evil rulers, Adolf Hitler made them both. And here is why. Adolf Hitler was loved by his country. For the most part, the people of Germany loved their leader. They loved Adolf Hitler. I don't know if you've ever seen old video footage of the Beatles and how when they first came to this country, the young girls, they swooned over seeing them play for the first time, crying tears of joy. They can't even believe what they're seeing. There is video footage of young girls the same way, adoring Adolf Hitler the first time they saw him. Okay, and here is a guy, one of the most powerful leaders the world has ever known. He was one of the most adored leaders a country has ever known, yet he is responsible for over 11 million executions of completely innocent people in incredibly horrifying ways, making him the number one most evil and powerful and influential ruler on almost every list. Well, I say all of that because the lawless one, the Antichrist, as he is going to be called, will be that, but not just to a country, he will be that to the world. He will be the most influential, the most powerful, the most unstoppable, the most loved, and the most evil ruler the world has ever known. Now, we talked about this a little last week. I'm going to mention it now, and we're going to talk about it again next week, Lord willing. But this man will be possessed by Satan himself. And he will be, again, the most influential, powerful, unstoppable, loved, and evil ruler the world has ever known. But in our verses this morning, the church at Thessalonica is reminded, and we get to learn four rather encouraging truths or facts about this most powerful worldly ruler. And that's our subject this morning, the most powerful worldly ruler. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And the very first truth that we learn about him is he is currently restrained. He is currently restrained. Look at verse 6. It says, "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." Now, his being restrained does not mean that this man was walking the earth when Paul wrote this, all right? Really, the one being restrained is the one who will possess him at that proper time. In fact, part of the restraint that Paul is talking about is the fact that Satan cannot take possession of this particular man until that proper time, until God deems it. Okay? Now, in my own mind, I kind of picture Satan like a fierce, angry dog on a short leash. And while he can go where he seems to want to in this world, he is limited as to what God will allow him to do and the influence he is allowed to have. While he is biting at that leash, he is barking, he is snarling, he is growling, he is wanting to be free, he is indeed being restrained right now. Okay? He is restrained to a particular amount of area, influence, and power. And I'll just tell you this, that if the world that we live in right now is Satan's restrained influence, I don't want to see it when he is loosed. In verse 6, we are given three facts about his being restrained. Number one, the way Paul says it here, he says, "And now you know what is restraining it." And really, the fact is, we should know what is restraining him. All right? We should know. Now, if you're anything like me, my mind wanders. I'm half here sometimes, half I'm not. All right? And my reflexive answer to that is, I should. Like a deer in headlights, you know, I should know the, oh yeah, all right, I do know the answer. It's God. It's God. God is restraining him. But really, as Paul says this to the church at Thessalonica, it becomes obvious that he had taught them about this subject before. In fact, verse 5 says, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know. You know what's restraining." All right? And the obvious answer, the only one who can restrain Satan is God. And that's going to be an important factor in an upcoming encouragement, okay? The only one who can restrain is God. In fact, according to Jude 9, even the archangel Michael dared not contend with the devil by his own power. He called on help from the Lord. The only one who can restrain Satan is God. And that is why James 4:7 tells us, therefore, submit to God. And then he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It is God's power that Satan fears, okay? We should know what restrains Satan. Fact 2, the lawless one is being restrained. There are limits right now as to what God will allow Satan to do. We can go all the way back to the Old Testament book of Job. Job was an incredibly faithful servant of God. And Satan wanted to test him. He wanted to test to see if his faithfulness toward God was based in his reverence for God or if it was based in the material blessings that God had given him. And God allowed Satan to test him. And here's what we read about that. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." God set a limit for Satan in what he could and couldn't do for Job. And God is currently restraining Satan in a similar way today. And by the way, Job passed the test. The lawless one is currently being restrained. Fact 3, the lawless one is restrained until the proper time. There will come a time when God deems it right. There will come a time when Satan will be unleashed. We don't know when that time is. Only God does. And only when God allows it will it happen. But here's the encouragement of this truth. Regardless of how bad we see things in the world right now, it's going to be worse. We are living in a time of God's limiting of Satan and evil in this world. And for that, we can be very, very thankful, very encouraged. The lawless one is currently restrained. The second encouraging truth this morning is he is eventually released. And we might be thinking, how is that encouraging? Well, we're going to see in just a few minutes. But for now, let's look at verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." The fence is going to come down. The gate is going to be open. Satan is going to be unleashed upon the world through the Antichrist, and the world literally will be flooded with his influence and power. I've mentioned before that the where I grew up, our home, our property, we had 2 acres of property, and it was irrigated through flood irrigation, okay? And at certain times of the month, we would open our gate, and the water would come rushing in, and an entire piece of property would literally become flooded with water. That's how we watered everything, all right? But I have to tell you that even when the gate was closed, there was still some water that constantly made its way into our property. And this is kind of how it is with the restraint and release of lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Lawlessness is anything that is contrary to God's law. Simply put, it's sin or a rebellion against God. And we learn here that it is most indeed already at work in our world. Satan's power, his influence, his fear is most indeed leaking through, so to speak, and not just a little bit. Sin has cursed our world. But the mystery, the secret here, as our passage calls it, is the fact that the world doesn't know it. You see, they don't see sin as sin. In fact, most of the world would look at the devil and call him a myth. Right? They don't know that they're being controlled. It's a secret right now. They don't know it. But there will come a time. There will come a time when he is released and they will worship the Antichrist knowingly. They will do it knowingly. So the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Lawlessness is being restrained. God is holding back the full influence and power of Satan and sin. There is currently a gate or fence that's restraining it. But our passage also says the restrainer will one day be taken out of the way. At the proper time, God will take his power out of Satan's way. He will allow every person who rejected the love and salvation that he offered them through Jesus Christ to have exactly what they wanted. A world without God and the godly influence of the church. You want it? Here it is. And by default, they will now knowingly worship the Antichrist. This is the result of the restrainer being taken out of the way. But through this, and by implication, the church learns something very special, something very encouraging. I want you to follow me with this. We're going to work our way through some extreme details of verse 7 in a minute. But here it is. Here's what we're going to learn. You and I, as the church, right now, will not be on the earth when Satan is released. Okay, we won't be here. And I want you to follow me through some things that verse 7 implies, okay? Number one, in fact, some of them aren't implications, some are just downright facts. But here's the first one. The restrainer is a he. The restrainer is a he. It's not just a force or God's influence on the world. This is a he. The pronoun is used there. And we have already discussed the fact that he must be God, because secondly, the restrainer is stronger than Satan. He has to be stronger than him to restrain him. Only God's power can restrain Satan's power. Not even God's angels can contend. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is God's power on earth. Acts 1:8 says, you, talking to the church, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Romans 15:13 and 19, it says that we, the church, abound in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is the Spirit of God who not only empowers us right now, but permanently indwells every person that places their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation in this age. The Holy Spirit is God's power on earth. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must be the restrainer. And if he is the Holy, and if the Holy Spirit is the restrainer and the church is permanently indwelled by him, follow me here. If the Holy Spirit leaves, the church leaves. The church leaves. If the restrainer is taken out of the way, this means that every person indwelled by him in this age is taken out of the way. The encouragement is then, we won't be on the earth when Satan is released. Now, while the Holy Spirit is everywhere present, that is an attribute of his presence will be everywhere, even on the earth, but his influence, his power in the world through the church will be gone. And Satan through the Antichrist will be unrestrained. But it's our departure that prompts his arrival. And that's encouraging for me. As I look at what's going on in this world right now, that is encouraging that I will not, the church, anyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ will not have to be present for this chaos, for these judgments. Why didn't Paul just directly call the restrainer the Holy Spirit and alleviate any question here? Well, I believe he did to the church at Thessalonica. Don't you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? They would have readily known exactly who the restrainer is as the Holy Spirit. The lawless one is currently restrained. He's eventually released, and then thirdly, he will be physically revealed. Let's read verse 7 one more time and then on into verse 8. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. Have you heard the phrase, when the cat is the way, the mice will play? All right. It's actually an idiom that literally describes lawlessness when authority is absent. That's what it describes. When the law enforcer is gone, anything goes. Anything goes. Even today, it's actually a criminal tactic to divert law enforcement officers to one location so that it's easier to commit a crime in another. Okay? When the Spirit is away, Satan will play. Upon the restrainer being taken out of the way, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And he's going to be revealed, first of all, as a man of peace. Now, he will obviously be alive and probably an adult at the time of the rapture. But it's only after the removal of the restrainer that he is revealed then as a world leader. He will claim peace and safety in the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 told us that. The book of Revelation tells us he will appear to unite the whole world under one government, one economy, one religion, a religion that worships him. All right? He is first revealed as a man of peace, but it's a false peace. And then he will be revealed as a God of power, but it will be a false power. Peek at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And Lord willing, we're going to look at that verse a little bit closer next week. But he will be revealed, he will reveal himself as a God of power. He will be the most influential, the most powerful, the most unstoppable, the most loved, and the most evil ruler the world has ever known. And that in itself is not encouraging for anyone, whether they know it or not. But it's from our last point that believers can draw some encouragement. The most powerful worldly ruler is currently restrained, eventually released, physically revealed, and then lastly, he will be inevitably ruined. He will be inevitably ruined. His reign will end, and he will receive exactly what he deserves, destruction. Now, I have destroyed a lot of living things. I have stepped on cockroaches with my shoe. I have squished spiders with a tissue. I have ripped carrots right out of the ground with my bare hands. I've even hunted and shot game with the simple flick of a trigger. I've heard of criminals, evil people in the world that have been executed through the simple flick of a trigger. I have heard of criminals who have been executed through a tiny little needle and a lethal injection. I have heard of criminals who have been executed through an invisible flow of electricity. Even Joseph Stalin, the evil dictator who killed millions and millions of his own people, was stopped in his tracks by a little blood vessel bursting in his brain, a stroke. But I want you to listen. Listen to how the Lord will defeat the most powerful criminal, the most evil ruler the world will ever know. Halfway through verse 8, it says, "The Lord will consume him with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." The Lord will conquer him with a breath. With a breath. Now, I have deterred some people with my breath before. But never have I conquered a person that way. And of course, our passage has an entirely different picture in mind here, okay? For the same kind of powerful words that spoke the universe into existence will simply speak the end of the Antichrist reign. The Lord will simply conquer him with a word. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In Revelation 19:15, it says, "Now out of his mouth, God's mouth, goes a sharp sword that with it he will strike the nations." The Lord will conquer him with a breath, and the Lord will destroy him with his appearance. Once again, my appearance has caused many to flee. But never has anyone been seriously hurt, at least not that I know of. But when the Lord appears, the simple sight of his glory will render the Antichrist completely and utterly useless. That's what the word destroy actually means. In Revelation 19:20, it tells us how he is brought to an end and rendered useless. He is cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, the Lord will, and Lord willing, we're going to revert back a little bit and see some details about how this lawless one actually comes into power and gains such a worldwide following, and why this wicked one will meet the end that he does. But in closing this morning, by learning these truths about the lawless one, there is one incredibly encouraging fact that shines through everything that we have learned this morning. Here it is. God was, is, and always will be in complete control. Nothing escapes him. He is in complete control of it all, now and always will be. In chess, The queen is considered to be the most powerful piece on the entire chessboard. All right, because she can do a combination of moves that no other piece can do. She is the most feared piece in chess. Most powerful, most influential. And with more ease than it takes me to move this piece around a cardboard chessboard, God will destroy the Antichrist. The Antichrist will say, "Oh yeah, God, I can beat you." That's how he sounds to God. And God will say, "No. No, you won't." God easily restrains the lawless one in this world. There is nothing out of control, all right? God will decide when the lawless one is released. God will decide when he is revealed to the world. And God will one day crush the most influential, the most powerful, the most unstoppable, the most loved, and the most evil ruler the world has ever known with air and light. I pray that we are encouraged this morning about the power of our God. The God that saved us from sin, the God that protects us in this life spiritually right now. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are just very grateful for who you are, your love for us, your influence, Lord, in our lives, and the fact that we are on the good team because of your Son. We have power in our lives right now because of your Son. We win because of your Son. And regardless of what trials we are going through right now, whether they be physical, emotional, financial, Lord, those are all temporary. You have a grander plan, and it's a spiritual plan. A plan that involves glory in heaven, your presence in heaven, our presence in heaven, and the safety of being your children. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would go ahead and stand as we dismiss with our last song, Above All. God is definitely above all. He's more powerful. And yet, even being that, he sent his Son to become the lowliest and die for us so that we can be with him someday.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.
Father, we're so grateful for the encouragement that we found through communion and through this festival, and your word, that greater